Question.
Thank you, Brother James. Y'all hear me fine? Good. And thank you so much, Brother Robert, for the sweet prayer. As Brother Robert began his prayer, I just thought about how blessed we are to have each other. Brother Robert's one of my best friends, and that's all because of what we have here in the kingdom of God and the fellowship everyone on this screen. What a blessing it is that the Lord blesses us with each other. I've had a subject on my mind here. I don't know, it's come and gone last few weeks. I can't even pinpoint everyone I've heard mention it, but it's got me to thinking, and that's I've heard it a few times. It's people quoting the end of Ecclesiastes, and it got me thinking on Solomon, who wrote Ecclesiastes and wrote Proverbs, great, if not all of them, Songs of Solomon and Ecclesiastes, and I suppose that Ecclesiastes was written in his latter years. The way the tone of the book it seems that way. Of course, I looked it up, and something I looked up, one of the scholars said that they thought that he wrote Songs of Solomon in his youth, and Proverbs middle age, and Ecclesiastes in his old age. Well, I can't prove that by the Bible, but I can say by reading Ecclesiastes, it appears to me that this is a man that is towards the end of his life, looking over his life. And it got me to reflecting on the life of Solomon, born of David and Bathsheba. Of all the kids of David, maybe one of the most unlikely ones that man would choose for king, but it was God's choice to anoint him as the next king. And we have in 1 Kings 3 where the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream and asked him, "What do you want? What can I bless you with?" And Solomon makes a wise choice and asks for wisdom to rule his people, the Lord's people. "I need wisdom to rule your people." And the Lord blessed him with that and was well, it says the Lord was well pleased in what he asked. And he said, the Lord said, "Because you have not asked for riches and all these other things, but asked for wisdom, I'm going to give you wisdom plus these things." And we know and can read that Solomon was, yes, perhaps the wisest man in the history of the world, save for Jesus Christ. And he was blessed with that wisdom. And then we can see that he was blessed with great riches. And that wisdom is manifest, and you can see in the first few chapters of 1 Kings, all the way up to 10, through 10, the 10th chapter of 1 Kings. We have people coming to him for wisdom from all over the world. We have the Queen of Sheba coming to Solomon. She's heard of his wisdom and his riches, and she comes and sees it, and she says, "The story that I heard was true, but the half had not been told me of the wisdom and the riches that this king had." But then we have where we see in 1 Kings chapter 11. There it takes a turn. And it starts off there and says, "But King Solomon loved many strange women together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, Ye shall not go in to them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart." So when I see this, it's just such a a wake-up call, if you will. The man that was blessed with such great wisdom had his heart turned away from God. And it reminds me of my life and men that I would hold into such great esteem as a kid or in young adult, preachers who the Lord blessed greatly, but yet some of them aren't with us anymore. And it just pinpoints and brings out how real the warfare we are engaged in is. That a man blessed with such great wisdom could have his heart turned away. And you can see others. I've thought of King Saul, who the Lord came unto him after, if you remember, I think in 1 Samuel chapter 15, when the Lord told him to destroy all of them, the king and everyone, all women, children, all the beasts, and he didn't. And the Lord came and took the kingdom away from him and sent a message to him, says, "When you were small in your own eyes, I blessed you." But paraphrasing, but then you came big in your own eyes. And then that ended up with him disobeying the Lord. King Uzziah, a blessed king of Judah, likewise was so blessed of God, but yet in the end he strayed and ended up when he went into the temple or the yes, and made the sacrifice in the place of a priest, and the Lord cursed him with leprosy. You see these things with folks with that strong start, but lagging off towards the end, or getting being blessed by the Lord and seeing their own strength that the Lord has blessed them with, started trusting. You know, Solomon wrote, "Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths." What great, I use that so much. In weddings, whenever I do a wedding, try to talk to a young couple in that ceremony, I almost always, if not always, have brought that verse out, that we need to lean not on our own understanding, but in every way acknowledge him, and he will direct our paths. But we have Solomon here, who was blessed with such great wisdom and riches, yet he penned this book of Ecclesiastes, which the theme all throughout comes up: vanity of vanities, all is vanity and vexation of the spirit. He starts off the word, I guess I'll read what I just said. "The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun?" Now I'll go to the second chapter, the last verse of the second chapter. Well, that's not what I was wanting. Am I in the right place here? Yeah. This is. Hey, well, I'll move on. I know it was right here. I just looked at it a while ago. That he says, "Man is born upright, but hath gone about and sought many inventions." That's somewhere in there, and it's vanity. But I'll move along now, where we have, we'll move to the 12th chapter. What really got, no, 7th chapter is where I was thinking. "Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions." There. Now we're going to move to the 12th chapter. "Remember now," he starts it off, "remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. And he goes on, and it's pretty depressing for a few verses here, talking about aging and different ailments that come come upon man. And but then he says, then shall the dust in return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. And then in the eighth chapter, he says, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still, this word jumped out at me today as I was going over this, says he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed, sought out and set in order many proverbs. It's I see, you know, as in my experience, as talking with those close to death, they'll reflect back, and a lot of times they'll want to go back to what they did wrong, where they erred, and they'll tell you, don't do what I did. And that's what I see here with Solomon. And I love that it says he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed, sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further, by these, my son, be admonished of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of flesh. Then he says this, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. He's going to sum it up all right here. After going through 12 chapters of describing where he erred in life, where he chased fame or wealth. And I'm not against money. I'm not against, here he says, much study is a weariness of the flesh. That's not talking about studying God's word. And it's good that we go and get an education in this world. My son, I've got two soon to be in college. One's already there and one's fixing to start. And I'm glad Riley's up in Minnesota, made a presentation for his internship with Purina, and things went great. And I'm so happy. We need to do these things. But Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these shall be added unto you. We don't need to worship these things. Don't let them get in our way. They are necessary. And here he says, now let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. How many times have we heard people say, why am I here? What is my purpose in this world? That's what, and you want to say, I want to say my generation or the younger generation, it's been every generation. That's what man does. Why are we here? They get to looking at other things. Here it is. This is the whole duty of man, is to fear God, respect God. Don't you know that Solomon, in the days whenever he was following after Lord, when he asked him, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom. I tell you, brothers and sisters, that's a good thing to ask for. In James, it says, if any man lacketh wisdom, let him ask of the Lord, who giveth to all men liberally. He'll give us. In 1 Corinthians, it speaks so much about wisdom. And spiritual wisdom in the church is of the utmost importance. And that's why I love and value and treasure the older folks in the church who have that wisdom, who perhaps don't know what they can do now. They'll even ask that question, why am I still? That broke my heart. I had it asked to me, to an old sister who I looked up so great, so much in my life. She was a great mother in Israel, if you will. And as she's nearing the end of her life, she tells me, I don't know why the Lord still has me here. Well, I tell you, I can go to her. And I could go to her and ask her questions. And she had that wisdom. What a great blessing it is to have spiritual wisdom. I've got a brother, a deacon at Stratton, Brother Norm Miller. He's not able, he doesn't come much. He lives over at Dawson now. But he's 100 years old. And you wouldn't believe it if you saw him. I'm glad we're in the church because if I ever upset him, I think he could still whoop me. He's a Marine, fought in World War II, Korea, and Vietnam. He's tough as they come. But I tell you, brothers and sisters, he's got wisdom. And he was able to make the camp meeting, and I was so thankful for that he came to the camp meeting. And when we talked with the deacons, I said, "You come, Brother Norm. We need your wisdom." He couldn't carry things like he once did. He couldn't do things. But I tell you, we need that wisdom. What a great thing to ask for. What a great thing to be blessed with in the Lord's kingdom. But here, whenever he was, Solomon was blessed in his youth. I believe as this starts out, he said, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." Oh, how many times do we see those that say, someday I'm going to follow the Lord like I should. Someday. What do they put in front of that? What do they put off till someday? I tell you, I've seen those do that, and I've seen people that remember in the days of their youth, and it is a great blessing in the days of the youth to, if you will, to stockpile, if you will, those blessings. Oh, I'm reminded of my grandfather who couldn't come to church and couldn't attend church in his latter years, but he could sit there and reflect back on the blessings of the Lord that the Lord had blessed him with in his young age. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not. I believe Solomon did that in his youth. He built the temple of God, but he messed up and fell away. And in the end, he says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments." We go over to 1 John chapter 5. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begot loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. How about that right there? I tell you, there's a lot of folks in this world teaching. Keep teaching. Well, let's see here. Jesus said, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of this generation, saying, they honoreth me with their mouth, I can't, and but it says, for in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." And I tell you, it's still a problem now. And if there's a commandment that you hear from someone and it seems grievous, it's not of God. Because it says, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. It's like that servant that in the end says, "It's my reasonable service." I tell you, it's a joy to serve the Lord. And when I look at the life of Solomon, it makes me, I'm reminded of the verse that says, "Walk ye circumspectly, looking about for that roaring lion seeking whom he may devour." Because the devil cannot have our lives, just like he couldn't have Job's life. But he can affect our lives here and now, and he can affect our fellowship with the Lord. And we can start following other little g gods of the world, just like Solomon did, started bringing in these other things. And we will never lose our eternal life. I tell you, Solomon's in heaven right now. But towards the end, he had some regrets. And he says, this is the whole duty of man, to fear God and keep his commandments. All those other things that he was worried about, the riches and things, vanity, all is vanity. But he says, this is the conclusion of the matter. to fear God and keep his commandments. And here we have, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Over in 2 Peter here, chapter 3. Eleven. He says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. He says, seeing that all these things, this earth's going to pass away. I tell you, I've got things that bother me, and I can let it bother me a lot. I've got family land right across, about 20 yards from me right now. That's just someone sold, and it's being subdivided, and it'll get me in the flesh if I let it real quick. But all this is going away someday. It's all going to burn and be taken away someday. And he says, what manner of persons ought ye to be? But we should be looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God. We can get lost in the sad condition, sad state of this world, the things that are going on, the fightings. What did Apostle Paul say? We've got fightings without and fears within. But I tell you, brothers and sisters, we live in the greatest day in the history of this world. We live on this side of the manifestation of Jesus Christ, and we're closer now than ever before to the day when the Lord comes back and we'll be taken up. Oh, Paul thought he would come when he was still alive. I think we should live a life believing the same thing, that someday we're going to be walking and the Lord's going to come in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and we're going to be changed and taken home. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. What a great day that is. And, you know, doesn't it get on your nerves when you see folks trying to use that day as a day to scare people? It's a day of great rejoicing for the Lord's people, the greatest day ever for the Lord's people, when we're going to go home to be with him. For he bought us. We were bought with a price, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And he's coming home to take us home. He's coming back to take us home someday. But till then, I love that song. Till then, I would thy love proclaim with every fleeting breath. This is the whole conclusion. This is the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. And remember that proverb. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. There's so much distractions in this world, more now than ever. But there's always been distractions. But it's my prayer, just like Solomon's father, David, prayed. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold his beauty, to inquire in his temple. Brothers and sisters, it's an honor and a blessing to serve with folks. That's what we all are. Preachers, deacons, sisters, children, aged alike. We're servants of the Most High, and may we serve together. And may all the days of our life, may we fear God, hold him in a reverence. If he blesses us, may we glory in the gift giver, not the gift. When he blesses us, glory in him. May all the praise. As he says in Hebrews chapter 6. I thank you, Brother James.